Jesus has gone away for a while, it says, and then he comes back around, and this little story is told nowhere else in the Gospels. There's a man who cannot hear and cannot speak, and he takes him away somewhere privately, and he grabs him. He sticks his fingers in his ears. At 9 o'clock, we practice that. I won't make you do that here. And it says he grabs his tongue, and it's not clear, is it his own tongue or that man's tongue? But he takes his tongue. He touches his tongue with his hand, and he gives him speech. He takes his hands out of his ears, and he can hear. It's very tactile. Even without trying it, you can feel it, and if you can't feel it, try it. It's really tactile, and it's only there. It's only in this one reading we just have. He's come back to go do that. It says he went away for a while. What he went away from was the reading we had last week, where he had told his colleagues that, of course, you can eat, you can heal any day of the week, right? It is what comes out of a man that defiles, not what comes in. Jesus, our beloved Jesus, says that, and then we get today's reading. Right there, the next thing, our beloved Jesus looks at the Syrophoenician woman and says, the healing is not for her. Right? Can we give what is for the children to the dogs, to her face? There has been a lot of work on how we can find a way to make that work a little better for who we know Jesus to be. And I'll just tell you right now, none of it is convincing. It says what it says. Sometimes the Bible, and often the Bible, means exactly what it says. It's exactly what you think it says. And that woman looks at our Jesus, and with the desperation of a mother, says, but yes, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And somehow that is humiliated enough that Jesus notices and heals that child. The child is healed. It says she goes back and that child is healed. This is a really tough reading. It's a really difficult reading. A very timely reading, all of the readings, in light of the week we've just had. I've been thinking about these readings for a while in light of we're back home, it's rally day, right? There's a lot of people in Bud Hall, and a lot of stuff to sign up for, and we're glad, and a lot of blue, and it's really beautiful, right? And all that blue against the green out there is really pretty, and people worked hard to make that happen for you all today. Like, all of that's wonderful, and some of you are here. It's a happy day for us. We get to imagine the whole year, and let us. But I should know by now that when you plan things out pretty far out, something always happens, ideally something really good happens that we need to share. But often, and truthfully, difficult, really difficult things happen. There was a picture in the New York Times on September 4th in the morning edition that I read on my phone of people, and a mix of people, like a mix of you, really any kind of person you could imagine in this picture, standing in the grass, standing, looking just beyond where the camera was. So if this is the angle, if I'm looking at the picture, they were looking here and here and here. Nobody looking into the camera. Young and old, there was a dad in his golf shirt like this and his reflecting sunglasses, and he looked pretty angry, looked staring sternly ahead. Everybody looking that way. And you know what that picture was because it was September 4th in the morning. It was all those family members of workers and teachers and children looking at the Appalachian High School. And a photographer had caught it, that moment of waiting. Right? You got the call, you somehow got all the way to the school, and you wait and wait until those kids are released. And you hope against hope that it doesn't impact anyone that you know again in this country. So many that it could be one a day, right? So often, our thoughts and prayers shot out again, and we're good at praying, so glad we're doing that. But as I have said before, that's our file. We'll do that here. We need other things from other people. And if you wonder if it's just us that have lost our minds collectively in this way, we have the book of James to help us, that we have been a faith without works, a words without works, like light thoughts without effort, people from the beginning. James is already mad about it in the first century or second century, whenever that was written. How dare you say you have faith? He doesn't say you have faith without works. How dare you say you have faith is what he says. How dare you say you have something called faith or belief if I cannot see your works? It was so provocative that Martin Luther tried to eliminate it from the Bible. Sassy, that sassy, and here it still is. And it was read very convictingly. I got that. I heard it loud and clear. From the beginning, we've wondered. In Proverbs, if you want to go further back before Jesus, Proverbs is written by a teacher speaking to young men who will be leaders in their community. So a privileged elite, and trying to talk to them, that the writing is about what it means to be a reasonable leader, to be a good person, when you know you will have authority in your life, as we would teach our children. How are you a responsible citizen? And even in that time, they're taking on the same issues we're taking. In Proverbs, it says, do not persecute the poor, do not oppress the poor because of their poverty. So even then, because you didn't have money, because you found yourself on the wrong side of the tracks or in the wrong bucket without the right access to education or the right access to food, because you couldn't make bail, right? The Bible says from that far back, note everyone, there are people this happens to, vulnerable people, maybe 14-year-olds with guns around the house. See them. Insist on seeing them. The relief to me is from the beginning, we have wrestled with these things. The challenge is, of course, from the beginning, but it's a little bit of a relief to me. It's not just us. It's not just that we have lost our minds in this moment. And there actually is powerful teaching about it. What teaches Jesus? She remains. And I don't think I'm overstating it. He is changed. He changes his mind. Some scholars say that it's a discourse set up like that so that we see Jesus in an engagement, in a conversation, where he is he's kind of setting it up for her to be clever. Well, I don't really see that. I don't know if you do. It's no different in Greek than it is in English. I don't really see that. I think something happened that was so compelling that it could not be recorded. We get it, regardless of how troubling it is to who we understand Jesus to be. I think it means that we all too, or it can mean, that we too have the power to call people to who they were meant to be, to their best selves, to why they decided they wanted to be in politics or be a leader, why they wanted to be a person that decided how schools ran, how safety works in this country, maybe why they wanted to be a police officer or a city council person. It is our work to call people to their best selves and to call us to our best selves, to call ourselves to our best selves all the time. So I got to see the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever the day was here in this city, because she was here at the Symphony Hall, and someone gave me tickets. And I found out that some members of our church went to college with her. You guys are so fancy. And some people in this church went to high school with her. So she's basically a member of St. Luke's, as far as I'm concerned. Someone sent her the visitor card, right? She told this story that when she was in college, in a class, she's a black woman, a white man, young fellow student, sits behind her and starts to talk to her. And she said, you know, she's a pretty serious student and has always been very serious. Her colleagues from college basically said, oh, we knew she'd be great. We didn't know what it was, but we knew she'd be great. Her grandmother knew she would be great and told her when she was little. So this man has starts to talk to her. And the class meets a couple of times a week, so talks to her every time in class. And some of you have heard this because you were there. And then she has another class on a different day. He's in that class, doesn't talk to her. Now you, like me, and I think everyone in that room, started to spin our wheels on what was happening. And I can tell you, I filled that in real fast, some version of what was happening, even though I kind of knew how it ended, and my version of what was happening didn't quite work. Right, because she needled us for a minute. She was like, yeah, she'd go to this class, he was so friendly, go to this class, he wouldn't speak to her. He finally decides to ask. She asks him in the class where he's friendly, why don't you talk to me in the other class? And she had stretched this out for a while, so again, everyone's like, oh. And he says, what do you mean, I'm not in another class with you, we don't have another class, this is the only class we have together. I know, Donna, right? That's what we all did, that doesn't make sense. And she said, no, I know we're in a class. I see you in class, in my poli-sci class. And I say hello, and you never speak to me. And he said, oh, that must be my twin brother. He literally had an identical twin brother. All of us in the room had filled in some version of what was actually happening. You did too, Carol, right? Yeah, all of us did. Because we know how the world works. And she was so little sitting up there and seemed so vulnerable and talked about how she hadn't really dated much before. She was a serious student and all that. We'd all filled in some version of something from our own lives or something like that. And it was so completely and utterly unexpected. The man who ultimately became her husband, right? Thank God she asked, because it sounded like she thought about whether she should ask or just stop talking to him. Like, what was going on, right? What a lesson, frankly, for me this week. The ways all of our brains fill in the holes, it's what we're wired to do. Like, you're not a bad person for doing it. It's literally creating the patterns, filling in the patterns from what we've learned before. It's what our bodies do. It is an evolutionary survival impulse. You know what's going to happen next. In times like this, and all times are like this, when there are plenty of people out there to divide us, when horrible things happen around us, we are filling in those gaps all the time. I think what this text invites us to, the texts today, all of them, is to check ourselves a little bit, maybe a lot, because we get a story of Jesus filling in the story, don't we? There he is in a remote place. He's not with his people. He's left his people because, like all those people standing outside of Appalachian High School, they kept looking at him with so much need. And he walked away into a quiet place to be alone for a minute. There's no disciples with him, no one's with him. It sounds like he's by himself. He's trying to hide a little bit. And someone finds him with their need. And he basically says, not you too, not you, not now. He's filled it in that she doesn't need it. He's exhausted and his people are more needy, and he's right. That is true. And she doesn't walk away, and she doesn't curse him, and she doesn't spit and walk away. All would have been a reasonable response, and we'd all be on board. She says, one more time, because she needs that healing. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall underneath the table. And we repeat that prayer. It's an old part of our liturgy as well. What a profound act of humility. What a profound act of humility. Not because necessarily she was a humble person, because she needed that healing, and he had it. She basically stayed on point. She knew exactly what she needed. This was her chance. Would that we did not fill in all our gaps in this season. Now, I'm not asking you to humiliate yourself, but I am asking you to stand in your humanity, that humanity that can see the other, that other that might not treat you the way that you should be treated, might not see the world the way you know is right, might not be doing for us what we know we need. But the truth is, we're all going to need one another, at the very least because we need each other's votes, right? But at the most because we live in relationship. We will have to decide together how we stop having shootings in our schools, because that's how democracy works, and we'll have to fight for it. We would have to choose this healing for ourselves. And the Bible tells us today, it is an act of faith. Isn't it interesting in Proverbs, it doesn't say, go and feed those who are hungry and then I will offer you a blessing of cash. It actually says, when you feed the hungry, you are blessed. It is the blessing. When we do these things together, friends, we are blessed. This is the blessing. You are the blessing with one another. So what a year we're about to have together. We're going to practice. We're going to practice because all of us, we circle up and our brains whir. Mine is whirring right now. I'm trying to calm it down, right? And we don't see each other. It's the truth. We don't know how to do this active work of making democracy, of making peace, of making community, because everything in the world is designed to keep us from it. It is the nature of sin in the world, and we are only people. So what we're going to do is take the gifts of our tradition, the little card like this, I bet you all have them. It says the Lord's Prayer on one side. On the back, it has the New Zealand version, which I think is just stunning, on the other side. If you don't have one, please go to Bud Hall and grab one. We're asking all of us at St. Luke's, we'll send a note to Ketanji Brown Jackson to join us, right? All of us, to say this prayer at noon. You know it, but if you want to do the Our Father, the New Zealand side, it's on the other side. To say it at noon. So even if you can't, know that the rest of us are, and if you can, know that we're doing it with you. We're inviting you to pray and reset and remember who you are in this world that makes it so hard to stay close to what we know is right and who we want to be, that we're going to reset every day. I don't know when we're going to stop. No one told me, so I think we're just going to do this for a while. To reset. And if this isn't the prayer for you, find something like it. But find something that orients you to who you want to be, who the world calls us to be, who God has said we are together. We're going to do this together at noon. The other thing I want you to notice is when you look at all the new things we have, all the new branding, right, on the bulletin, outside, you'll see it in other pieces of paper we have. What has actually happened is the colors in our windows and the colors in the floor, the colors of this church, of this building, are the colors you're going to see. And the language you're going to see and everything you see for the rest of the year is our core values, our mission, our prayer book, pulled out for you to see the gift of the tradition as a resource for this time. We're going to pray it together. There is so much power in it. And we launched the year with the story of a woman outside of the people chosen, outside of the people that Jesus just had a big fight with, who told him he wasn't being Jewish enough, right, and walked away to take a breath. And then the Canaanite woman came up and said, hey, my kid is sick too. Right? He had to have thought, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, like it was coming at him from all sides, and he just wanted to take a breath. It's like reading your newspaper in the morning. And then she reminded him of what he was called for. And so let this be our reminder, let these be our reminders, that we are called to something so much more than the world would tell you right now. You are, every one of you. And together we will support one another to make the world that we know must be. Because friends, faith without works is no faith at all, we heard loud and clear. So let us be faithful.